Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Our vision here at The Path Church is to create churches that mobilize the next generation. So everything we do is about that, including our performance. And our theme for the year is trust the process. Trust the process. We got it. Kind of stole it from the Philadelphia 76ers, for any sports fans out there. Not that they made it up, but they were the latest people to kind of make it popular, right? And so what the 76ers did years ago was decide that they were just going to stink it up. They were just going to be sorry for a few years to be able to build for long-term success. But that theme, trust the process, they knew that the fans wouldn't be happy about tanking it. And so they said, listen, just trust the process. And they wanted to give their fan base a little patience and hope. It's going to be all right. And so we said, man, that's what we need through the process. When things get tough and it doesn't feel like things are going right, we need some patience and we need some hope. Because let's be honest, I mean, very few people like the process. Now, we all love results, right? But very few people like the process, like the process of renovation. Anybody ever had to renovate something in their house? Oh, my goodness. It always costs more than you budgeted for, and it takes more time than you planned for. But once it's done, it's amazing. It's worth it, right? You know, nobody likes the process. Well, let me not say nobody, because we have some people that love academics. But many people don't like the process of having to go to school, having to study, having to pull all-nighters, having to pass really difficult tests, having to wake up in the morning and go through all the stuff that you have to go through in order to get a degree. But we love the results, right? The doors that are open as a result of those degrees. Very few people like the process of getting in shape. Oh, I got y'all with that one. How y'all could. Woo, it's spring. Summer's around the corner. It's summer vacation. You know, I know we want to. We say we just want a healthy lifestyle. We really want to be fine. And we want to get into those skinny jeans. And we want to look right in our bathing suit, you know. Just look good for a spouse. You know, that's all we're trying to do, you know. But that process of working out is tough. But we all love the results. It's all worth it. The truth is that we may never like the process, but we have to learn to trust the process. It's God's process. And when we learn to trust God's process, we're able to really fulfill the purpose that God has for our lives and ultimately experience the joy that comes as a result. Just ask my boy Tiger Woods. I had to put it in there. That's my boy. Come on now. My boy. That moment is so iconic. Oh, my gosh. And I feel like we're all Tiger Woods. That's why everybody cheers him on. Like, we weren't all Tiger Woods when he was amazing all the time. Like, he was like, who is that? That's a superhero. But when he fell, when he struggled, when he had to go through the process of scandal, divorce, counseling, that's beyond golf, right? When he had to have surgery and he kept losing and nobody thought that he'd be back at this place, that's what I can relate to. That's what we can relate to. We all see ourselves in Tiger Woods, and we all want to experience that as a result of the process. I mean, they're calling this the greatest comeback in sports history. 11 years since he won a major title. What was it, like 14 years since he won a Masters? That's the longest gap there's been between winning Masters. I mean, it's crazy. And we know his process. Now, today, we're celebrating not the greatest comeback in the history of sports, but the greatest comeback in history, right? Y'all like how I did that, right? Bear with my cheesiness there. But it's Jesus on the cross. That's the greatest comeback in history. That he came back from dying on that cross, that he came back and he rose again. Like I said, we're here celebrating that because we love the finished product. We love the happy ending, the resurrection. Right? It means that Christ conquered death. And because of that, that we too can conquer death. We too can have eternal life in Christ Jesus. That's wonderful. That's amazing. We love the finished product. Most of us skip right past Good Friday. Some of us had prom on Good Friday. Some of us went to the movies. We hung out. It was just Friday for a lot of us, right? And Saturday, 420. Some of us did what people do on 420. If you don't know, bless your heart. My wife didn't know. I said, amen to the pure. All things are pure. That's okay. You know, Jesus would have loved to skip past Friday, too. He made it clear on Thursday night in the Garden of Gethsemane, God, my Father, if there's any other way, please take this cup from me. I don't want to go through this. If there's any other way, I want the people to be saved, but this process is going to be so challenging. The disciples, I guarantee they would have loved to escape the grief of Saturday. I mean, this was their Sabbath, their day of rest, but I can guarantee that there wasn't much rest happening on that Saturday. Do you know that none of the Gospels give us an account of what happened on Saturday from the disciples? They go straight from Friday to Sunday. And I don't blame them. I wouldn't want to remember that day either. I mean, if anybody's lost a loved one, you know what that next day is like. You wake up after not really being able to sleep much and you maybe took a little nap. You wake up and for a split moment, you're like, was it a dream? Did this really happen? And then all the emotions and of grief and the reality of tragedy flood back into our hearts and our minds. And we have to deal with the grief of our own Saturdays. We all understand that. And yet, as tough as Saturday was, the scriptures would prove true. That weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. See, the disciples, they didn't like the process, and Jesus himself was looking for another way. But they had to learn to trust it. And as a result, they were able to experience the joy that comes from trusting the process. You know, today I want to talk about two things that happen when we don't trust the process. Two things that happen when we don't trust the process. First one is we take shortcuts. We take shortcuts. Take Peter, for example. Peter told Jesus, he says, listen, I know everybody else may deny you, but not me. I got you. I don't care what you say. I know your Lord, your Son of God, all that stuff that you're prophesying about that I'm going to do. I'm not doing that, Jesus. I'm never going to deny you. And so, you know, after the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter was with Jesus sleeping. And finally, Jesus gets his heart right, gets his resolve ready. And he says, here comes my betrayer. And Judas shows up with a crowd full of people armed with swords and clubs. I mean, they were ready. They were ready for battle. Right? They were coming to arrest Jesus. And what does Peter do in that moment? He draws his sword. Wah! Slices off somebody's ear. That's hard to do. I mean, is it cut off somebody's ear? I mean, did the dude have big ears? I don't know. I mean, it's hard to do. But what was Peter doing with a sword? He was a fisherman. I mean, that's that. I mean, I guarantee you Peter would look like me if I try to wield a sword. I mean, I would just think about, like, the three musketeers on guard. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how to hold a sword. You think Peter knew any of that? No. But in the moment of most pressure, he relied on something he felt like would protect him and bring him victory. Jesus tells him, listen, put your sword back. If I wanted to make this physical, I would just call my angels. We can finish this. We can take these folks out. But I want to follow the scriptures. So put your sword back. And let's make this spiritual. Let's follow the scriptures. And then guess what? When the disciples saw that, you know what they did? They ran away. They ran away. They all deserted him and fled, every single one of them. Why did they run away? I think in that moment they realized that this process was, one, taking too long. It was way too hard. And it was just going to cost them way too much. It wasn't going the way they envisioned for it to go. So instead of trusting God, Peter trusted his sword. And so do we. So do we. Our sword is that thing we find security in. That thing that we've relied on in the past before we started following Jesus. That thing that looks like will serve as the solution to the situation at hand. That sword can be money. The sword can be sex, alcohol, drugs, pills. Or it can even be things like our intelligence. It can be things like our hard work or our charisma. Some of us know how to work it, boy. Woo! We know how to use our personalities to manipulate the situation. For some, we take out our status. When times get rough, pressure's on, I'm taking out my status. I'm taking out my influence. I'm taking out my power, my own popularity to get things done. And some of those things, they aren't bad in themselves, but they become dangerous in the hands of people who choose to trust the sword over God. And that's when we make decisions outside of the will of God, right? Now, sometimes those decisions are straight up sin, and sometimes those decisions are just very unwise decisions. Regardless, when we step outside of God's will, we end up looking like a fool. It's like Peter. Now, some of us, we take shortcuts. The other thing that happens when we don't trust the process is we give up. We just give up altogether. And you can ask Judas about that one. Judas was the money keeper for the crew. He was taking care of the finances for the disciples. And so he was greedy and money hungry and prideful. And so he was working with the Jewish elites, the leaders, to betray Jesus. And he took 30 silver coins to betray his friend and his Lord. He was the ringleader Thursday night when he showed up with that crowd of people armed with swords and clubs. But Friday morning he woke up and he was like, what did I just do? In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 3, we read about that. Matthew 27 verse 3, it's up on the screen. It says, when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. I have sinned, he said. I have betrayed innocent blood. What is that to us? They replied, that's your responsibility. That's your fault. So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. And Judas was struggling at that moment. He was having his moment of insanity. You know those moments. And you are in the mix of temptation and you don't see any other way out. And we do some dumb stuff. We give in to the will of Satan over God's will. And Judas was struggling. And then he realized the implications and he was seized with remorse. And he even returned the money. He said, here, have it back. And he confessed to them, listen, I've sinned. He's innocent. My bad. And there's usually a moment where we snap out of that moment of insanity into a moment of clarity. We realize the effects that our sin is having on our lives and on the people we love, right? We understand the implications and we start seeing the consequences of what we have just done and we wish we can take it back. But it's not that easy. That's what Judas was going through. Oh, he was sorrowful. He confessed and he even repented. He gave the money back. But the response wasn't what he expected. You see, he was looking for forgiveness from men when he should have been searching for mercy from God. And when they didn't respond the way he wanted them to, he just gave up. He went away and he hanged himself. You know, Judas, he didn't trust the process of forgiveness. He didn't trust the process of redemption. I'm sure in that moment he thought about, man, I want to get right, but I can't face them boys again. I can't face the disciples after I betrayed them, after I betrayed Jesus, after I gave Jesus that kiss of death. I can't go back. I can't. And then even if they did forgive me, they're never going to like me again. They're never going to let me in. I don't have any friends. Can you imagine what he had to go through, even with his family? When word started getting around of who was the one that betrayed Jesus. And he looked at this road back to redemption, and it was just too tough. The guilt was too much. The shame was too great, and he missed out on experiencing the greatest gift that he could have experienced, and that's the salvation of his soul. I mean, think about it. If he would have just held on for a couple more days. I mean, if the centurions, the Roman soldiers who put the nails through Jesus' wrists and feet, if they could get forgiven, surely Judas could have. Man, could you imagine the redemption of Judas if he would have just held on a couple more days? Some of us may be thinking about giving up today. Don't do it. Please do not do it. Give yourself another day or two more days, please. Let's just see what happens. Let's see how God works. Let's see how he comes to the rescue. Let's see who he sends your way to love you and forgive you and show you his love. Please don't give up. Anything is possible when we're walking with Jesus. Check out this post by hip-hop artist Lecrae. This past week, he posted this, and he says, God is relational, not transactional. He wants to walk with you through the pain, not just make it disappear. And then off to the side, he says, trust the process. All things work together. My boy Quay hit me up. He tagged me on there. Trust the process, showing up everywhere. Even Lecrae has bought in. Trust the process. Now, just because there's pain doesn't mean that God doesn't have a plan. And so many times in that pain, we give up and we say, this isn't supposed to be part of the process. It doesn't feel good. And God is like, no, all things work together for your good. I got you. And so for us who are struggling with giving up, don't lose hope. The best is always yet to come for Christians. Always. Can you understand that? As Christians, we live with this hope that's eternal. And so no matter what happens on this earth, the best is always yet to come because we look forward to heaven. That's for Christians. So if you're not a Christian, become a Christian. It's amazing. To live with that hope is incredible. So what is it that made Jesus different? Why was he able to push through in the process? One word. Humility. Jesus was so humble. And really, if we want to follow him, we have to be humble. I would argue that's the chief characteristic of a disciple, of a Christian, of a follower of Jesus. It's humility. Because without humility, you can't follow anybody. You can't learn from anybody. You can't imitate anybody. That's why the Bible says that God opposes the proud. And Satan's already opposing me. I don't want God opposing me too. The Bible says that he gives grace to the humble. There is no grace without humility. And Jesus set the example in that. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 says your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself. He became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, because of his humility, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Even under the earth, everybody's going to bow. I want to bow on earth or above. I don't want to have to bow in hell. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The resurrection only happens because Jesus humbled himself. It says that though he was God, he didn't even consider equality with God something to be grasped. And so many of us, he was God and didn't do that. And us humans, we try to grasp at that equality. Like we know as much as God. It says that though he was in very nature God, he chose to take on the nature of a servant to serve us, our servant, by dying on the cross so that we can live. And so therefore, because he humbled himself in this way, God lifted him up. God exalted him up out of that tomb. and he lifted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every name, so that every knee will bow and every tongue declare that Jesus is Lord, Master, King, Coach, Boss, whatever you want to call it. Whoever you have to listen to, that's who Jesus is. It was this humility that helped Jesus to call Judas friend when he came to betray him, and to tell Peter to focus on the scripture and not the sword. It was this humility that helped him not retaliate when they hurled their insults at him. Ooh, you didn't get that one. Not retaliate when they hurled their insults at him. How do we respond when we're insulted? And make no threats when he suffered. It was this humility that helped him to trust the process, even when he took on our sin and he was separated from his Father for the first time in all eternity. And he cried out, my God, Father, why have you forsaken me? It was this humility that helped him to give up his spirit. It was this humility that let him wait on Saturday when he was buried in that tomb. And it was this humility that raised him from the dead, exalted him to the highest place, and given him the highest name. So what does this humility look like practically for us? You know, Jesus shows us in the garden the night before he was doomed to die. He shows us what it should look like for us. We can follow his example. Moments before Judas would betray him and Peter would draw his sword, in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 39, this is what his night was like before he had to start this process of the crucifixion. It says that he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Here is Jesus bowing, falling on his face on the ground, crying out to God, his Father. He gets low before his Father. That's what humility is. And he cries out, and he does so three different times. He's wrestling it out with God, and he finally submits himself to the will of his Father. That's humility. Do we show that same humility? Do we approach God with humility? I mean, do we address him as our creator of everything that we see, that he has made everything, that we walk outside and we see the skies and we see the clouds and we see the sun, and the way that the earth spins, the way that weather comes in and out, the way that the land yields crop for us to eat, the way our body works? Do we address him as the creator of our body, of our mind? That's who we get to have a relationship with. Like, you don't have to think about breathing most of the time. You don't have to think about blinking. You don't even have to think about thinking. Like, there are things that happen just because God created it that way. Do you understand that? Do you address God as the creator of everything that we see? Do you address God as the creator of power? You see, often we talk about how he is all powerful. He's beyond all powerful. He created the concept of power. Do we address him? Do we come to him like all the power is in his hand? In his, I mean, the thought of power is enough for him for all that we need. How could we ever feel powerless if we have the Spirit within us? Do we address God in that way as the creator of power? Do we address him as the creator of all wisdom? And do we understand he's all-knowing? Yeah, maybe we'll say, yeah, he's all-knowing. He created knowledge. He created the concept of wisdom. It is him by his word. As he said a word, that this was created. This is God, y'all. This is God. This is who we're serving. This is who we get to have a relationship with. He is all-wise. He is all-knowing, and he is the creator of the process. We cannot begin to trust the process if we're not humble to the entity that is in charge of the process. Listen, we don't get to change the process. We don't get to make up our own process. Right? What truth is truth. The way he created this world, The way this world works, the way the spiritual realm works, his plan, what we read about in the scriptures, it's done. If you believe it or not. We spend all this time trying to, talk about all these different ideas and, I believe this and I believe that. You can believe whatever you want. The truth is truth. You can believe there's no hell. Okay, tell me how it goes in 1,000 years. Like, you can believe whatever you want. Like, I don't believe Jesus rose from the dead. Okay, that's fine. Doesn't mean that didn't happen. Like, that's God's, I think God gives us weather for this very, very, to make this point in our lives all the time, and we still don't get it. You cannot change the weather. When those storms came by last Sunday, we canceled service. Listen, you cannot, in your power, nobody can, nobody has, unless they pray to God. Changed weather. Do you understand that? We are at the mercy of God. Do you understand that a wind can take us out? Do you understand that a lightning bolt can it be over with? You can't stop a lightning bolt. You can't. I'm sorry. Humility, folks. In the presence of the Almighty God. We kneel down before him. I'm not even worthy to be speaking his words. Do you understand that? God, please help us get this. God, please humble our hearts, Lord God. Please, Father God, please move our hearts. There's another Christ-like example of humility in that story. In Matthew 27 and verse 37, just a few verses before, we see him crying out to his father. It says, he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and just keep watch with me. Here we see Jesus bringing his closest friends, Peter, James, and John. And what does he do with them? He confesses his emotions. He gets open about the weakness that he's feeling, how he's feeling overwhelmed with sorrow. He just says, I just need you to be with me. I want you to be with me. I want you to experience this with me, and I want you to pray with me. Do we show that kind of humility? The humility to just open up about our emotions, to not care what people think about us, but just to talk to somebody about the fear and the stress and the insecurities. These are the feelings that make us take matters into our own hands and take shortcuts. These are the emotions that make us give up. These are the things. We don't give up out of nowhere. We give up because we're wrestling. And we're wrestling in our minds and we're wrestling in our hearts and we're doing it by ourselves. Do we ask for help? It's okay. We all need help. We all need help from one another. That's why God gave us his church. We all need it. We may need help just being humble. That's a good place to start. I don't know how to be humble. Can you help me be humble? That's humility in and of itself. Do we ask for advice? The Bible always talks to us about seeking wisdom. Do we seek wisdom by getting advice? The definition of advice is this: guidance or recommendations offered with regard to prudent future action. You seek advice with a desire to use it. You don't, please don't waste people's time. It's like, you asking for advice, and I tell people ask for advice. I'm not trying to control you. Listen, I'm trying to help you. It would be much easier for me if you already knew what to do, okay? All right? Listen, seeking advice with the foresight that I'm gonna do something with this. The desire to use it. Some of us, we ask for advice, that's good, but we only ask for advice when we think we don't know. Well, isn't that when we're supposed to ask for advice? Because if I know, you don't know what you don't know. Have you heard that before? We don't know what we don't know. We think we do. You know what that's called? Pride. I mean, that's what we're talking about. We don't know what we don't know. There's some things we've never done before. And we act like we know. Like, we're constantly in new seasons of life. That's the way life is. Talk about God's process, right? That's the way life is. You're born, you grow up, and you die, all right? And through that, you get older. There's different years, right? And the phases of life, the seasons of life, they change, right? And so some of us, graduation season is coming up. For some of you, this is the first time you graduate. Some of you are graduating high school. You're going on to college or to work. You don't know what it's like not being in school. You probably should get some advice about that. Some of us, we're graduating college. We're going into the workforce. Some of us haven't done that before. You may want to ask some questions about what it should be like to find a job and a career and how we should be at our jobs if you want to be successful, because God always blesses humility. God always blesses humility, y'all. I've seen God bless humility over like intelligence, over your network, over your money in your bank account, over how smart you are, whatever it is. God just blesses humility. Some of us were newly married or we're thinking about getting married. Especially if you've never done this before. It blows my mind. And it blows my mind how new married couples are so like harsh with each other. Like, sister, he ain't never been a husband before. He's never been a husband before. Right? In those situations. She's never been a wife. You may want to have a little grace on her. You may just want to, it's okay, let's learn together. If you've never done it before, you may want to get some input on how if you want to be successful. That's the prerequisite. Like, if you want to be successful, to seek advice, right? New parents. If you've never had a kid before, we are over-informed. Man, are you talking about YouTube education, boy? I'm talking about all types of parenting advice. Can you talk to somebody who is a parent? Who has done it, who knows you, your parenting, like, strategy that you want to, like, work on and do? It may work for somebody else, like, on the internet. It may not work for you. It may work with somebody else in another phase of life. It might not work in your phase of life. You may want to talk to somebody and build relationships that somebody knows you and say, man, I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about that. What do you think? I know we think we know what we're doing. Our love will conquer all. You need a little wisdom. You need a little wisdom with that. And it's beyond that, right? Empty nesters. The season, weeks keep getting old. I mean, it doesn't stop. Right? Empty nesters, you talk about then having to take in and take care of your parents. That's the season of life my parents are in right now. They got to take care of my grandmother. Like, how do you do that? Those are new seasons of life. We can't get to a place where we decide, man, I've been a Christian this long or I'm this old, and so I should just know. Because I was good in this part, then I should be good in this season. It's just not the way it works. That's not the way it works. God has a way of keeping us humble. Now, the other thing is when we have done it before. Uh-oh. Some of us have been in this position of life before, and it hasn't gone well. You ever see that in relationships? I mean, some people, you've been in a relationship, it didn't work out, get a divorce, and then you marry the same type of person again. I'm going to talk about it because it's happened before. I know it happened to my family, happens to my friends, and we act like we're just going to keep doing what we're doing, choose a different person, it's going to work out. It's not. You may want to get some advice. You may want to think about God, spiritual friends, tell me why this didn't work out. I know I want to blame her, but what was it about me? I know I want to blame him, but what could I do better next time around? Some of us have been in situations, and then it's just like a cycle over and over again because we don't take the time out to seek wisdom, to seek advice, to be humble, and you're being opposed by God because of your pride. Run it by. That's my thing. That's what we say in the church. Just run it by. You may have a great idea. You may have a great plan. Run it by. You know what you'll get? You may get somebody to challenge what you're thinking. Somebody to say, that's good, but you may want to think about this. Somebody that say, that's not good at all. You want to change your plan. Or somebody that say, you know what? They'll confirm it. That's an awesome plan. May the Lord be with you. I'm praying for you. You don't lose when you run it by. You don't lose when you get open. You don't lose when you ask for help. How do we handle critiques? We talked about how we handle, when people go off on us, right? Insults. How do we just handle critiques from people that love us? That tells us a lot about our humility. Do we give anybody in our lives a green light to tell us about ourselves? Anybody? Because it's really hard to tell somebody about themselves if you know they don't want to hear it. Most people just don't want the drama. I love you, but I don't want to get chewed out because I'm trying to help you. Like, nobody wants that, right? Now, there are some spiritual people that fight through it. But there's a scripture that talks about don't throw your pearls to swine. As we get into the scriptures, do we ask for help? As we're studying the Bible, do we ask for help? Here at The Path, we like to teach you about the Bible, like help you get a foundation on God's word, not on our wisdom. And so we do personal Bible studies. We do group Bible studies. Our goal is to get you close to God. Right? And so, are you humble to ask for help about the Bible? Like, when's the last time you came in with a question about the Bible? Like, I know you don't. I don't understand everything. I was reading something the other day. I'm like, I don't even know this. I'm going to move on. Lord, when you want to make this clear to me, you'll make this clear to me. But, man, just coming in with a humble heart as we study the Bible to say, I think I know some stuff, but please share with me what you know. You may have a different perspective. God always bless humility. Man, listen, my family loved me so much. My mom loved me so much. I would get a Bible like every birthday. Christmas. Anybody go through that? You get books, spiritual books, and they just stack up. And some of them were nice. I'd have them in my room in college. I would put them on the nightstand and then put it away when I had, people over. And, you just try to, or you put it in your car, just to protect you. I'm going to put this here. God, the word is going to protect me, But I remember trying to read my Bible. I don't know if anybody can relate. There's times I would just open the Bible, and I didn't know where to start. Just open it up and try to get a message. And it's like, the Amalekites rained down fire on the Canaanites, and therefore the Lord split the sea, and then cherubim appeared. I'm like, what is a cherubim? Right? And it's like, okay, I understand something serious happened, but I think there's something deeper I'm supposed to get. But I just didn't know what it was until God, see, I didn't humble myself. I'm sorry. I'm not that humble to humble myself. God himself humbled me. God himself allowed me to go through everything I had to go through to get to the place where I'm like, this ain't working. My way is not working. I don't care who want to teach me about the Bible. I will learn because I don't know any of it. And I don't take any credit for the blessings or the grace that God has had on me, because this kind of humility is hard. It goes against every fiber of our selfish nature. I know it does for me. There are times in my life I feel like Jesus, overwhelmed with sorrow. There are times I feel sad. There's times I feel down. I just feel anxious and worried about life. There's times I feel weak. I lack motivation. I lack passion. And I'm a very self-motivated guy, so when I don't have, intrinsic motivation, I struggle. I'm like, what's wrong with me, God? Sometimes I struggle with these emotions, and things are really good around me. And I look at how God has blessed me, and I feel guilty because how could I be so ungrateful? Why do I feel bad when God has blessed me so much? When God has answered my prayers, and it's a beautiful day out, and I should be happy, but I'm not. And everybody else seems happy. And everybody else seems like they got it together. And they seem close to God. And I'm struggling. I feel bad about feeling bad. And then I try to self-diagnose. I'm depressed. I must not be eating right. I just try to figure, I'm just trying to figure it out. What's wrong with me? And I try to push those feelings to the side and deal with them myself, to fight on my own. And there are times I take shortcuts. And there's times I feel like giving up. Recently, I was battling through this exact process, through this challenge, And I'm trying to work it through, and I came across this scripture, Psalm 145:14. Psalm 145:14, and we'll close out with this scripture here. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. Man, these words hit me so hard because they tell us so much about God and they tell us so much about me. And we learn that God is gracious enough to catch us when we fall, but it says he lifts those who are bowed down. He lifts up those who are humble. Here's the thing. We get to choose how we get to the ground. Either we fall or we bow. It's really hard to fall when you're already on the ground. It's really hard to fall when you're on your knees with your face to the ground crying out to our Father in heaven. Pride makes us fall. Humility makes us bow. Our response is to bow down. God takes care of the heavy lifting. He did it for Jesus, and we're still celebrating it today. But let me tell you, God doesn't just want to celebrate his resurrection. He wants his resurrection to inspire the celebration of our resurrection, right? He wants you to be resurrected. He wants you to die to your sin. He wants you to take up your cross. He wants you to be buried in the waters of baptism, and he wants you to rise again to new life. He wants to celebrate your resurrection. The scripture said angels rejoice in heaven when one sinner repents. He's like, Easter's great. I celebrate my son all the time. I want to celebrate you. Will you give God a chance to celebrate your resurrection? We want to help you to do that. I hope that you're ready to make that decision today. We want to help you to do that. Please talk to the person who invited you out. We want to pray with you. We want to study the Bible with you. We want to help you to get that place where you're ready to make Jesus Lord of your life. And then what we're going to do is we're starting a little group Bible study after church starting on May 5th. And it's called the Journey Series. It's a three-week series. And if you are moved, if you feel like, man, I want to learn more, I want to be humble, if you're just there right now, that's great. We want to study the Bible with you. So all you got to do, take out your phones. If you're interested, take out your phones. Go on our website, thepath.church, thepath.church. Right there on our website, there's a tile that says Journey on it. You click on that tile, fill out your information, and we'll know you're ready to sign up. It'll give us an opportunity to understand how many people are going to come to this Journey class. This Journey class is about meeting you where you are and helping you get to where God wants you to be. Right, humble before him. So make sure you do that. Just get on our website. You can do it right now. We have Wi-Fi in this building. You got data plan. Use your data plan for that. That's the most important thing you can use it for. Use your data plan for that and fill out that information, all right? No matter where we are in the process, no matter where we are, God wants us to know that if you trust in Christ and his process, joy comes in the morning. Amen. The end of the matter is better than the beginning. And the best is always yet to come. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.